Sunday night, April 8th, Ishtar Day. Out there getting little Ishtar Iggies. We are going to look at a segment of 1 John that we looked at this morning about loving the brethren. And I just touched on it this morning when we were done. You know, we look at 1 John and we see that if a person's going to go there and the pastor wants to have unity in the church, who put this guilt on people, like, listen, you're supposed to love each other no matter what. You're supposed to be there for each other no matter what. And blah, 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 blah. And these verses are telling people that if you don't love the brethren, you're not born of God. It's that simple. That's what it says here. So if somebody pulls a couple of verses out of the hat and uses those, and well, that person decides to read the whole book, he's going to see something totally different. And see, you know, as I think about it, that's usually what happens in a church. And I think this is what the pastors are, why they're so afraid of a King James Bible. You get people excited about, and Paul, you get people excited about their Bible, and they start reading it. They're going to see that possibly what the pastor's saying either isn't right, or it's manipulated, or it's spiritually speaking, but it isn't real, it's not true. And then we get into rightly dividing, you see that the guy's been really pulling the wool over your eyes for a long time. Then they go into the office and you think you're going to show him something exciting. He knows all about this rightly dividing baloney. He knows all about this Paul-only cult. And there you are. So he doesn't want people to get a hold of their Bible. I always liked it. It was great if somebody didn't believe what I was saying about the Paul stuff when we first got into it. Well, come on, bring your Bible in. Let's check this thing out, you know. Let's check it out. Being born again isn't written to us at all. Blah, 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 blah. And let's speak with some authority that what we're saying is right. But let's keep learning, and we find that we can become more perfectly. We can be more perfect. We can see that there's more to it, even. Anyway, so tonight, let's look at something different. If 1 John says, love the brethren, or you're not born of God, what does Paul say about it? Well, I got some verses that Paul says. It's legitimate. We need to take care of the brethren. We need to be there, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the problem we run across. We have so many people today that are Christian that are they brethren? That may seem like a real basic, kind of an unimportant thing, but, you know, it really is important, because if they're not brethren, then we need not treat them as they are brethren. And the second thought here is, okay, Paul tells us that sometimes we have to avoid the brethren. Right? I mean, so we have to balance this thing out. We need to know what Paul says about how we teach each other, how we take care of each other. But we also have to ask ourselves some other questions before you just put this blanket blessing on people. Because remember, Paul tells us as a Christian, as a believer, as the modern people want to call themselves, that, sure, we pray and we cry for people. We're concerned. We have long suffering. We have patience. Sure, all these things tie in with Paul, but they forget, or nobody teaches it to them, that there does come a time that there needs to be admonition. There comes a time where there needs to be rebuking and reproving. There comes a time where we're supposed to stay away from them. That solves all the problems in the world. It's just, well, just don't go hang around them. You know? And it says they're the brethren. And eventually, if you have to, if they want to go into the world, you say, okay, listen, hey, go have at the world. Go jump in. Let it happen. The devil's going to just whack on you and going to beat your flesh up, and you're going to learn what Paul really is true. You're going to learn about how to quit blaspheming God with your doctrine, and how you walk, how you wear, what you wear, and where you work. If you're not, you know, all that kind of stuff. So if you want to go out there, go for it. And that's the brethren we're talking about. Remember, he told us to, you know, live peaceably with all men if you can, as much as lieth in you. With all men, that's everybody. And sometimes you can't. So what does he say? Get away. But tonight, before we go over these verses about what Paul says about the brethren, and I may not even get to it here, let's ask ourselves a couple questions that we should ask ourselves when we're talking about or thinking about these verses about the brethren. Like, for example, he says in Romans 12, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. So yeah, we still have to take care of the needs of others, distributing to the necessity of saints. That's Paul talking. Now that isn't quite how Paul or John says it, you know. He says, He who so hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And it goes on and shows that this guy's not even saved. He doesn't have the love of God because he hasn't got God. He's not born of God. See, you know, Paul doesn't go that far. But still, it says, distributing to the necessity of saints, in honor, preferring one another, given to hospitality, be kindly affectioned one to another. That's fine. That's Paul still tells us to be that way towards each other. But, question number one, are the people we're dealing with truly brethren? Well, let's get a little scriptures here. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. You know where to go with that thing. Because Paul's biggest concern was these people weren't brethren. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Then he goes on and talks about false apostles and deceitful workers and Satan himself being an angel of light, and that these are ministers of righteousness, but they're free to the wrong righteousness. So, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So, simply put, that we're living in a day and age where there's a lot of people that really probably aren't even brethren. They don't act like it. And they don't talk like it. They don't dress like it. They don't go places they shouldn't go. Can the brethren be that way? Yeah, the brethren can be that way, because all things are lawful, but, you know, the whole string attached there. And that's possible that they could be brethren. But, you know, people have to consider the fact that, you know, maybe they're not. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the judgment seat of Christ chapter there. And he says here, Paul says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, in verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Okay, so is the foundation you have, which of course is Jesus Christ, is it through Paul's teachings? Is it through Paul that you've learned what it is to have trust and faith with what you've heard to be true? Or are you just following some verses in John that says you need to be baptized? Or are you following some verses that say, well, yes, I ask Jesus into my heart? Or are you following some verses where it says, yeah, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I mean, have you committed? There's an Episcopalian phrase, like committed. Have you committed yourself to Christ? Have you given your life over to Jesus? None of that is salvation. The salvation comes from how Paul preaches about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, you hear from the what? Well, you hear from the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and it's got to come from Paul, right? And so if it doesn't come from Paul, how do you know you haven't got another Jesus? So, that could be one of our problems here. So, you know, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, is it NIV? Is it the ASV? Is it the KJV? What is it? Where do you get this? Is it something in your heart? Is it something that's, you know, are people truly brethren? We go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. That exposes 2 Timothy chapter 3. That exposes people who think they're Christians, but they think that they have a form of godliness. I mean, they look like Christians, but they deny the power thereof. And that's the power of Christ, what he does to us as a Christian. They've denied all that. Well, how can they be Christian? How can they be brethren then? And we're supposed to turn away from them. And these are the ones that creep into the houses and destroy people, families. always learning. But, you know, they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Corrupt minds, reprobate concerning, how can these be Christians? They're not brethren. We go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we see that gain is godliness to these people, and they're Bible correctors. Corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. Their love is really the love of money. You go up to verse 17. These guys are trusting in their riches. Are they truly saved? Are they truly... Well, the question is are they brethren? Just because they say they're Christians. What did I read today? It was in a Newsweek, and it said, is Jesus coming today? No, Newsmax is what it was. Is Jesus really coming back? And they gave all the different answers based on all the Christian denominations. See, they're all Christians. See, Catholic, Episcopal, Lutheran, Baptist, you know, the whole thing. So the world out there thinks all that represents Christianity, and it doesn't. It represents the Antichrist's Christianity. Well, how do you know that? Because we have a knowledge of the Word of God rightly divided. We know what that stuff really represents. So are they really Christians? Why are we afraid to say to yourself, if nothing else, they can't possibly be a Christian based on, you know, whatever? Well, I know Paul tells us it's not for us to decide, and that's true. I mean, we're not making the decision. But we sure can ask ourselves, are they brethren? I mean, we can still look at the facts here. We can still recognize some of these things. So the first question would be, as we're supposed to treat the brethren this way, are the people that we're having a struggle with or not able to be kindly affectioned, not able to distribute to the necessity of the saints, and maybe vice versa, maybe they're not going to help you with your needs because they really aren't brethren. They don't feel the need. You're fine. You landed here based on your own past. You did this to yourself. Kind of a thing, you know. Well, see, they forget this verse in Galatians. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, dump the guy and tell everybody about him for the next 15 years. No, it says, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's how we're supposed to be to the brethren. But see, if they're not a brother, if they got another Jesus, or they've got a false salvation based on not having the Word of God as the gospel of their salvation, the Word of truth, based on they got their Jesus from somewhere else, then no wonder there's such a problem there amongst the brethren today. Okay, here's another question, okay? Let's say they are saved. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. I'm not going to bug people about that necessarily. But let's go to 1 Thessalonians. The next question is, how are you doing with Paul? Are you doing Paul at all? 2 Thessalonians here. You know the verses, nothing new here tonight. Chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which you received of us. And then it goes on and it talks about, we're talking about brothers here. And he says, finally, down in verse 14, note that man have no company with him, that he may be ashamed, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Okay, so he's saved, but he's not doing Paul at all. Or maybe he's doing some of Paul. Okay, is that maybe he's still not a brother? So we have to keep that in mind as we are being kindly affectioned, as we don't judge, as we follow after the things which make for peace, if we want to restore him, if we want to have a lowliness and meekness, bearing one another in love, all these things that Paul talks about here, we got to remember that there comes a time, this guy may be brother, but see, our salvation is not dependent on our loving this person, but we are still, if we love God, and the truth of this thing, there comes a time we need to step aside from this person. People have a hard time with that. Don't you love him? Yeah. Well, why are you doing that? Well, he needs to be the one ashamed. So I'm going to pull aside here. I can't hang around this. This is so rare anymore, isn't it? The stuff we're looking at with Paul, and they put it into your life on a practical basis, it's just rare. It just doesn't happen anywhere anymore. Pastors just aren't preaching it at all. We know the verse in Philippians 4:9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. See, maybe you're not into Paul because you don't have the God of peace. So maybe you aren't a brethren. But if you are a brethren and you're just not doing Paul at all, after a while, we're supposed to still stay away from you. Okay, now here's another one. Let's go to Galatians, chapter 1. Simple one. Okay, so the questions you ask yourself, are these people really brethren? Are they not doing Paul at all? But they, whatever, they're still supposedly Christians. Third one is, they really supposed to be doing Paul only. They really are. Because he says in verse 6, 7, 8, and 9, especially 8, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel. Any other gospel means Paul only. Well, John's gospel doesn't match everything with Paul. Okay, then you don't be following John's gospel. 1 John doesn't match Paul. Okay, we don't follow 1 John. And you've got people that are following all that stuff. Is it because they were soon removed from him? Like it says there, not that they lost their salvation, but they got started, then they pulled away. They went back to church. They went back to the world. They went away from the stuff because it was too hard. They wanted to fit in. Does it say here, well, man, I sure am surprised that you are so soon removed from him. Who's that? That's Christ, the risen Savior. You've removed yourself from his teachings, from Paul. You went back to another gospel, the Great Commission, the modern Christian. How can you go back to that stuff? Okay, so yes, we still have, we're kind of infectioned, and we receive one, there comes a time where we're not supposed to. And that's still of the brethren here. Let's look at another one. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. So you got this Christian that's been, he's a Bible kind of a guy, and he's talking about this and that and whatever. And you have him over, and he hits you up on all this stuff all the time about God's judgment, and how God's going to get you and all this kind of stuff. And you think, I don't want my kids to hear this, and I don't want to hear it myself. There's no need to hear it myself. So, Billy Joel, let me show you something. Romans chapter 11. You're talking about the severity of God. Yeah, I know. That's where God is. No, that isn't how God is today. God has got goodness. God has got grace. Look at what it says here in Romans 11, verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity. That's Jews, Billy Bob. That's not us. Because toward thee, that's the Gentile nation, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. So you hang around somebody who's not continuing in God's goodness. You don't want the Paul stuff. You'd rather live amongst the severity of stuff. Well, chances are you've been burnt by the religion of God's severity to Gentiles today. And you know God hasn't nailed you for what you've been doing, or thinking, or watching, or doing, or not doing. He doesn't care that your testimony in the public has gone sour. I mean, he does, but he doesn't stop it. And so you know that God really doesn't exist, see, because if he did, you wouldn't be there letting him do that stuff. So I just keep right on listening to what I want to listen to. I'll sing what I want to do. I'll go where I want to go. I'll wear what I want to wear because, God isn't going to get me anyway. And it's, that's somebody else. And the brethren, sure, we can be kindly affectioned. We can rejoice with them, rejoice and weep with them that weep. We can tell them why they're weeping. Lowliness, all the stuff that Paul talks about here. But there comes a time that we need to not just love them, like it says in 1 John. Now, I suppose you could do a semantic thing. Well, sure, you still love him. You're pulling away and you still love him. Just like it says in Thessalonians, withdraw from him. He's not your enemy. You still treat him as your brother. Okay, and that's how Paul would be with all this stuff. But this blanket love everybody, love everything because you're a child of God is not today. That's first John. That's tribulation. We know, you see, we know in Hebrews 10, 24. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. We know in Hebrews chapter 10 that the tribulation comes, these people are going to need each other big time. Well, why is that? Well, because it says in Hebrews 10, 25 that not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is. See, some people don't want to get together, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It says, for if you sin willfully after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sack. That's a serious time. So I need to go over there to help Joe Blow, or they need to come and help me, because if I truly mess up here, it's over. We don't have that today. Well, yeah, we need to be there for the brethren. We need to edify them, encourage them, guide them, restore them, be patient toward them, help them with their needs, etc. If you've got something you're capable of doing for somebody else, then you do it for the brethren. Don't you get tired of being used, though? Yeah. But God will pay in the long run. And maybe the person you're trying to help isn't a brother. And you get burned. Ah, brethren can burn you, too. We've learned that. Oh, maybe it's just because they don't know anything about being a brother. Users. There's a bunch of that. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy. Here's something else. These brethren that we have. We go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Do they rightly divide? Well, if they're brethren, and they truly are saved, again, we don't know necessarily. If they're doing somewhat of Paul, maybe, maybe not. You know, there's people out there that have better standards than most Christians, and they do some of the Paul stuff, but they don't know why, they just do. Or Paul only, no. But if you're not rightly dividing, then are we to treat them like Paul says about brethren? Well, it says right here that we're supposed to shun that stuff. Shun profane and vain babblings. So if these people are caught up in vain and profane, profane and vain babblings, what church do they go to? Do they invite you to that church? Do you go to that church with them? What's going on here? What part of Christianity are you part of here? Now, and I'll tell you here in a couple of minutes what we're missing here. I'll tell you that in a couple of minutes here. But we're supposed to shun this stuff. We don't just go to participate because we love the brethren. No, there comes a time you draw the line in your sand and you're supposed to say, I'm sorry, but I'm supposed to shun this stuff. Well, why? I may like it. I may enjoy, my flesh may enjoy the love. My flesh may enjoy the peace, because I'm sure tired of all the fighting we've done, is, you know, that whole story. He tells us to shun that stuff. Why? Because it'll just increase into more ungodliness. And their word, these guys that are talking this profane and vain babbling baloney that you're listening to because you just have to be there with some of your, you know, whatever, it'll eat on you as a canker does. And your faith can be overthrown. Verse 18. Not mine. Yes, it can. I'm telling you. Why, she's got the dog barking? I guess I won't know. And then, here's my last thing. You know, we're talking about brethren tonight. What Paul says about brethren. But what I'm saying is, are they really brethren? And if so, maybe, maybe, maybe not. But are they doing Paul at all? They're supposed to be doing Paul only. They're caught up in the severity of God. That's not from Paul. It's the goodness of what brings people to repent. It's the goodness of God that's supposed to get us to dress right, talk right, do right, go right, you know, that kind of stuff. And we get all that from rightly dividing. And if we're going to hang around the crowd that's not rightly dividing, they're going to get you. Now, you know, you heard the scriptures tonight. You know that. Then people would say to me, well, you know, you just don't understand. Yeah, I understand. I understand too well. Here's the last one. And here's what we're running across, I think, more and more, and I think we're all getting guilty of it. I'm getting guilty of it. I've got some much water being poured on me to tame all this stuff down, and it's starting to bother me. It's starting to bother me again. And that's this. Are you a fighter or a fittener? What's a fittener? Fitting in. We're losing our fight. We'd rather fit in. So, in order for us to deal with a brethren like we're supposed to, it's going to cause a fight. Maybe. Or do you just love everybody and give in and just do and just remember that everybody's saved? No, they're not. We know for a fact they can't be. We don't know which one specifically necessarily, but we know that there's a religion out there. We know that it's gain is their godliness stuff. We know that they're into the money thing. We know all sorts of things about this religion, but deny the power thereof. We've read enough scriptures to know what's going on out there. We know people that have gone backwards. We know people that say they're Christians, but we know they're not based on their church and doctrine that they attend. Do we just fit in? Are you a fit-inner? Or, like Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. It's a faith fight. It's about faith. Why do you wear what you wear? Well, I've got faith in what the Bible says is true about shamefaced and modesty and pleasing God. Why do you believe this Bible is the King James Bible, is the Word of God? Yeah, I've got faith in the fact that this Bible has been around for 400 years and there's not a mistake, there's not a contradiction in it. It needs to be rightly divided. God made His promises. It's the Word of truth. It's the gospel of my salvation. It's based on faith. Why do you listen to sermons like this? Because it's about faith. Faith of what? That this is the Word of God. This is what He says. You read the Drudge Report. You read Fox News. You watch MSNBC. And you see what's going on out in this world. And if you know your Bible at all, you can spot what's going on there. Homeland Security wants to buy 400 million bullets. Well, what do they need 400 million bullets for? Homeland Security? Read the stuff. Watch the stuff on 9/11. The Pentagon. The thing down in Oklahoma. I mean, come on. It doesn't take much to realize something's not right here. Is that what it's about? Is it affairs of this life? No, we're not supposed to be entangled in that mess. Our battle is about faith. Our battle is about us having faith and His faith. And He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, for unto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession. Have you? Before many witnesses. He says in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Not my faith, but the faith. Keeping the faith is the faith of Jesus Christ. It's the truth of what the risen Savior teaches to us through Paul. Here we are. Easter, when everybody pretends and plays that Jesus died, buried, and rose again on 4 days or 2.5 days or whatever they justify that whole thing. But see, they don't realize that Savior that is risen wrote specific words to us as Gentiles, and you're ignoring them all as you play your little religion out there. So you teach Paul as the apostle from the risen Savior to us, you're keeping the faith. But it's going to be a fight. You know, if you were to, wear something wrong or whatever, and you go to work, but you shouldn't even be there at all, and on the way there, your car breaks down and you can't ever get to work and you get fired or something, or you wear the wrong thing to work and you get attacked or something comes along, or God says, you know, boom, you're dead or whatever, well, you wore the wrong thing. See, that's not about faith. You would be wearing the right clothes because of the severity of God. You'd be afraid of His chastisement or His killing of you. You'd be falling asleep forever. That's not why we do this stuff. We're not afraid of God. We're not afraid of God doing that stuff to us now. We get the reward or the burn at the judgment seat. But we don't do these things because it's going to get us. I'd like to think that I could get this job that I wrote to you about, because it seems kind of idealish for what I'm looking for if I had to play this working game. And I think, well, let's see, have I done good enough? Uh-oh, I haven't done good enough to deserve that. How many Christians think they have? Well, God will get it for you if you've been a good Christian. If you've been a good little boy, Santa will give you that job. No, ours is on faith. If I don't get the job, I don't get the job. I'm not that good at this, but if I don't get the job, I don't get the job. I'll keep looking for something else. Maybe I'm not supposed to go back into that classroom. I feel so good right now, peace about not being in the classroom. You know it was tough to go in there. You don't know how tough it was, but it was tough. But what am I going to do? What are you going to do? You're with Rebecca up there in Idaho with the health issue she's got. Or Jeanette, or all the different things that we have. Mark, your stuff, difficulties, and Peter, and Bob, our kids, and what do we got? It's about faith. Our kids have to see, and the people have to see, that we have faith. Even when this thing falls apart. Now, I'll tell you what, it's really hard to keep the flame lit when people keep pouring water on you, isn't it? Isn't that tough? Boy, I tell you. But it's a fight. You've got to fight the fight of faith. And it's a good fight. He says in 1 Corinthians 9:26, I like this one, you know. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You ever seen a guy that, you know, he's just shadow boxing and not hitting anybody, hitting anything? Or some guy's running up and down the street with his arms kind of flailing because he's so uncoordinated and all that. He's just fighting the air and all that stuff, you know. What kind of battle is that? There's nothing going on there. What do we have? Air guitars, air trumpets, air instruments, you know. They've even got... we're silly. We just go nuts, you know. You can't play trumpets, you're going to play an air one. You can pretend, you know. No. This is a good fight. Are you a fighter or a fit and inner? I'm afraid most of us are becoming fit and inners. Just because. You know? Well, we got to hang in there with Paul. We got to understand that we have to take care of their brethren. We have to be there for each other. But if there's a brethren out there that's got some problems and causing problems, maybe he's not the brethren. Maybe he's not doing Paul enough to understand. Maybe he's not doing Paul only at all. Maybe he's caught up in the severity. Maybe he's wrongly dividing. And he's preaching and teaching vain babblings. Maybe he's just a fit dinner. Those are the kind of brethren, if they are brethren at all, we really need to stay away from. Not make him our enemy, like Paul says. They're still our brother. But our salvation is not dependent on how we love those people. But Paul tells us it's very important. I'm not trying to belittle how we take care of each other. I wish there was stuff I could do for people. I know when we were back at the church there and we'd have money come in, I thought it was great to send money out to people. And we just sent out a big chunk here and a chunk over there, and money kept coming in. We'd send it out to somebody else, and that's a marvelous thing. But I think we're all getting to where that's what we need. We need help. Well, that's not going to happen. We need years. That's running out of time. We need. Well, fight the fight of faith. Don't give in. Don't be a fit and inner. And love the brethren. Be there for them. How can you be there for the website, brethren? Well, you write each other emails, and I guess I didn't go over these verses here again. Here we can, you know, they're in the website there. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Okay, now, how far do you want me to talk about that? You know, I mean, we're having a hard time, and you're suffering with us. If you don't take this wrong. You know, I'm just trying to make the sermon here. That knowing what's going on with us should be hard for you. Knowing what's going on for Rebecca and the surgery she's got coming up, and the issues there, and the cancer that people have, and the job issues, and I mean, how about these people that don't have a job and haven't had a job for 3, 4, 5, 6 months, a year? How do they do it? I don't know. I hope I'm not about to find out. Because I don't think I can pull it off. What do you do? Well, we need to be there. But it's going to be a fight. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. when people talk about me as their former pastor, do they edify or do they chopify? When people talk about you when you leave, brethren, of course, are they edifying? Are they uplifting? Are they encouraging? Or do they, don't bring your Bible next time you come? You know, I wasn't trying to cause a fight or anything. I was just, you asked me a question and I thought I'd answer it with some scripture stuff. Maybe they're not brethren. Maybe that's the problem here. I wish somebody would ask me, what does the Bible say about such and such? And people have, but not like I'd like them to. I'll be glad to give them the answer. Some people know my answers take a long time to give. That's because there's so much in there. So there you go. There's the brethren. And we will continue 1 John on Wednesday.